What is up, everybody? Welcome in to a Sunday edition of More Important Issues. It's been a good week, at least to be a Vol fan, maybe not an Alabama fan, maybe not a Florida fan, maybe not a Mississippi State fan, maybe not a Kentucky fan. I can go on and on. Really, only one fan base can you know, kind of has the upper hand right now. It's a good day. It's a good day, good week to be a Vol. It always is, even when it's rough. You know, there's other fan. I'd never want to be an Alabama fan. I don't care how many national championships you win. I'm out. I don't want that. So it's always good to be a Vol.
Yeah, especially imagine having this some week. Ugly red all in your closet.
Yeah, not even me. Not even a good red. A very ugly red. And you're right about that.
Yeah, like a satanic red. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, and it gross to be. You know, just to be frank about it. But I am. You know, it's been a. It can't be. I can't say enough. Like, I don't even know how to put it into words what Tony Vitello has done so quickly. Like, not to say, I think Tennessee has, and maybe not yet, but like has the ability to get the resources to be a top team in the SEC. But the way Tony Vitello's done it in the amount of time he's done it, it's just, it's incredible. And I can't wait to talk about it. And I mean, Tennessee didn't even make the SEC tournament in 2018, his first year. Before that, I think 16 was the only time they made it with Serrano. 15. Is that right? 15?
So his first year was 2017.
17? That's right. Sorry. You're right. So in his second year, they made it to Hoover. I'll have to go back and look at – but, I mean, I think Serrano only made it there once, might have made it twice. Like, it just can't be it's hard to put into words what Vitello's done and because that program was deflated before Serrano even got there. It wasn't like it went through one – you know, struggling coach. Like, that wasn't the case. It was struggling before that, and it wasn't making the necessary changes to keep up with the rest of the SEC. And still technically hasn't. You got the good coach.
So I guess you are right. It was 2018. That was his first year. Because they did make it in 2018. He made it in 2019. That was the first year.
19 was the first. That was the loss to Auburn. Yeah. 18 was his first year. I'm getting confused because he would have been hired in 17.
Correct. Yeah.
And 18 would have been the first season. That's where we're getting a little confused. But it just can't be understated. And I know we'll talk about it when we talk about this run in Hoover a lot, which I'm excited because it was just a good week of baseball. So we will talk about that run in Hoover and what the Vols have got to do. I know we've talked about it a little bit. There's kind of been some – I mean, you're still reading between the lines, but without saying it, I feel like Vitello's – said that, you know, he's here, he's a Vol.
Yeah, I mean, he was wearing a shirt today that said loyalty. And if, you know, if I'm reading between the lines there, I mean, that's he's kind of on top of everything he does. Like, he has a reason for everything he does.
I'll say so. He's going to be a meme if he leaves Tennessee at this point. Like, that right. Shirt, he's going to be a
absolutely
meme.
Yeah, he set himself up. but, yeah, he seems very on top of things. So, I don't – and kind of up with, you know, the modern lingo and stuff like that with some of his players. So, I think he knew what he was doing when he wore that shirt today.
Yeah, it certainly seemed like it. Certainly seemed like it.
Also, in that video before the game?
Yeah. I mean, come on. That's a Tennessee guy.
Yeah.
It's a Tennessee guy. We are talking football. It was the announced some non-conference start times that were announced, so we'll definitely talk those as well. And then, hey, if you've got questions, drop them in the chat. Get them in there. Oh, we're also talking regional, by the way. Don't let me forget that. I know Selection Monday isn't until tomorrow, but we will talk some regional talk. Because, I mean, the fact is Tennessee this week, locked in a super regional. I mean, I guess it was still up in the air, so they locked in that super regional host site.
Yeah, I mean, even if you probably lost that second game, I think you're probably in. Mm-hmm. As a regional, I mean, Mississippi State was terrible this weekend, and they still have a chance to lock in a national seed. So we'll see. I think the host sites will be announced at 8:30 tonight, and then again tomorrow is the Selection Monday to see who's actually in the regional.
Oh, let's do it. So we'll see. We'll know during the show. We'll probably know when we're talking about it. Perfect. And then, so yeah, drop those questions in the chat if you've got them. And of course, we've got our segments, most important of the week and fail of the week as well.
Yeah, go check out our sponsors, Tennessee Tap House, Hound Dogs, and Blue Water Climate Control. Here's a quick word from our good friends at Blue Water Climate Control.
People always ask, where did we get the name Blue Water Climate Control? When a Navy ship casts off lines, exits the harbor, and loses sight of land, that's blue water sailing. It takes a team of people to do that. Tireless work, focus, and attention to detail. So much of starting a business is just like that. After it's done, you get filled with deep satisfaction for accomplishing something. And it's quickly followed by, now the real work begins. We're Blue Water Climate Control.
Shout out to all of our great sponsors that make this show possible. Guys, hang with us. We've got a great intro, and we'll see you on the other side.
Balls are back.
Yeah, they had us the first half. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, could be Wayne.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh.
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby.
Them orange britches. Something about them orange britches.
Tennessee wins.
Batted by Tennessee. Jawan Jennings. Jennings makes the catch.
If you win, you win. Stand by for you, have 6 minutes.
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
I made up my mind. I don't expect to ever look back. I'm going to stay at the University of Tennessee. Yeah!
Reddit did to do, and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Sunday, May 30th. Let's get it. Tennessee baseball arrived. And I feel like, too, this is I'll talk about it just about every time I talk about Tennessee sports. It's almost like the nation's kind of betting against Tennessee. Like, they aren't there yet. Yeah, they've had a great season. But, you know, can they do it against Vanderbilt? Well, Tennessee came out and showed they could play against Vanderbilt. They're having a great year. They had a great series, but can they do it against Arkansas? And they played a great series against Arkansas. Now everyone's like, can they do it week long against SEC opponents, you know, national contenders for an entire week? And they did it. You know, you come up a hair short, come up a little short. You got beat by a team that's really, really good today, but you played with them and you beat up on the SEC just as more than just about anybody besides Arkansas for an entire week.
Yeah. And, you know, today was kind of unfortunate, but, you know, when you look at like where Tennessee was 4 years ago when Tony Vitello took over, I mean, it's insane that he's gotten to this point. And, you know, when you get up to this point, like when you're having to rebuild so fast, it's hard to have a ton of that depth. And, you know, Tennessee just doesn't have the depth that Arkansas does in their bullpen. And it's not a knock on Tennessee, but just that's what Arkansas has. Arkansas really doesn't have a weakness. They got a crazy lineup. They got some studs. They got some first round draft picks on that team. They have the SEC pitcher of the year out of their bullpen that they can throw in any given time. And then they have really good pitchers. Other than him, I think the two guys before him were throwing 95, 96. I think one guy hit 97 or 98. So, I mean, it's hard. Like, Tennessee just doesn't have that kind of depth in their bullpen. And they've got some quality guys in that bullpen. I'm not trying to take anything away from them. But when you look at what Arkansas has and is able to put out there, it's just kind of unfortunate. And then you add in that Jackson Leith was Tennessee's probably, you know, him or Chad Dallas is probably Tennessee's best pitcher, their ace. Mm-hmm. And to not have him and then go through a whole, you know, like you said, a whole basically week of SEC play and not have one of your best pitchers, it's unfortunate. And you'd like to see what it would be if it didn't come to that case, because Will Heflin had to start two games. You know, if Jackson Leith is thrown in there, maybe today you get Camden Sewell pitching that championship game, and you know, who knows what happens. Not to take anything away from Will Heflin, I thought he did a phenomenal job. Just kind of Arkansas had a really good inning, and you know, it kind of got away from Tennessee there at the end, but I thought it was a really good weekend of baseball, and I'm looking forward to the big one. You know, you wanted to win today just because, like, if you don't win the big one, then you're like, hey, we won an SEC championship. It's hard to say that, but now you have to go win the big one because you didn't win the SEC championship.
Yeah, and it's, you know, going, you know, talking about just losing in general today. We've kind of discussed this because with this team, we actually even asked this question to Kiv, like, it's hard to grade a year like this where you know that, like, it's easy, you can see the accomplishments you had, but at the end of the day, only one team gets to end the season on a win. And I know this isn't your season ender because you've had such a great season, but it's a championship game and you want to win it no matter what's left in front of you. Like, you want to win this one. You came up short. But as far as just like grading it out, Tennessee played a good baseball game and they had a good week of baseball. Now, the good thing is you do have games left. This wasn't the final one. You have a chance to go win the big one. Will that happen? Tennessee's got a chance.
Yeah, I mean,
they're one of the best teams in the country.
You kind of set yourself up for, that this whole week was, that was Omaha super regional feeling. Like that was postseason baseball. So you got a good glimpse of that, facing elimination in three of those games. And then today was for, the whole SEC. Didn't come out on top, but you played with them and you did stuff that people haven't done against Kevin Cobbs. Like Durkay just took him the first battery face. Durkay takes him into the trees and in right field. And I think they were 31-0, I think, when we played them at home, going into the ninth inning, and you win that. So, and I think we're the only team to homer off Cobbs twice.
I mean,
we're the only team to do it in May. We're the only team to hit a home run off him in May. Pete Durkay was. So, yeah, I mean, you competed with him. Yeah, the scoreboard doesn't look as competitive as you wanted it to be, but it kind of got away from you at the end.
Yeah.
And you just kind of saw the depth with, they're able to throw Kevin Cobbs whenever. And right. I don't think Tennessee's afraid of Kevin Cobbs, and you can't be, but, it's always in the back of your mind, like, hey, the SEC pitcher of the year is going to throw at any point.
Yeah, you're going
to
see him.
So, yeah, you need to get some runs, need to get some insurance, and that's just a tough task. I think he came in when it was 4-1 or 3-1, and that's just, it's hard to do against the SEC, probably the best pitcher in the country.
Yeah, you talked about, you actually lost it, or you saw him after you were already trailing. You had that 1-0 cushion for four innings, is that right? And you see that 1-0 lead, and like you said, you knew he was coming out of the bullpen today at some point. So you're hoping when you get that 1-0 lead that you can extend that before you see him.
Especially when you have the bases loaded.
Especially when you have the bases loaded.
And that's got to take a lot out of a team. I know it was two outs, and that's, most guys are hitting around 300, so 3 out of 10 is you're going to get on base. But, man, it would just been nice to see what would – have happened if you would have cashed in some runs and during that opportunity, and it just didn't happen. So got to move on. But, I think Tennessee played a little pissed off after that Alabama loss.
We talked about it, on Wednesday night. What you get a chance. I told you, I was like, if I'm a coach, I'm kind of loving that because you didn't get eliminated. And now you can be like, hey, the world's against us. Let's go do it. And they played pissed off. World's against us. Let's, we're riding with the dudes next to us. They played some mean. Like, I felt bad that Mississippi State and Florida had to see us after that. I did.
Yeah, because, it wasn't going to turn out well, especially Mississippi State. That was a game I was like, okay, Mississippi State is probably, up where we are in terms of, a top five, top eight team. But, man, you run ruled them. And then you run ruled, you run ruled Alabama, and then you shut out Florida. I mean, what a run Tennessee had in Hoover that they haven't had. I think the last time they've won actually two games in Hoover was 2005 when they went to the College World Series. So just a phenomenal run. Hate that it came to an end like it did, but, man, you got to love what this team's doing. And like I said, it's going to set you up for, you're not having to face an SEC team till maybe Super Regionals, if not College World Series. So
and I think another great thing that came out of this weekend, obviously you had some good play and you got to play in the SEC championship, and those are all great positives. I think the biggest one going into the postseason is Tennessee's next, who's your next starter, who do you go to after Heflin, after Chad Dallas, after Blade Tidwell. Who's that next guy? Florida, for me, I mean, the Florida game, everybody was asking. Florida game's a little scary. Like, who's next? Did they find that in Camden Sewell?
It's got to be. And, you know, he's a guy we've mentioned a ton on the show.
Can I ask you this, though, before? Because, like, yeah, I agree. It is now. Was Sewell your next guy before Florida?
I mean, it probably wouldn't have been my first pick just because mm-hmm. you haven't seen him start a game all year long. Right. So I thought he was kind of a bullpen guy, but you've seen a lot of teams that we played so far use their bullpen guys as starters because you kind of have to up to this point. And Camden Sewell was a starter his freshman year. Didn't get to play last year before the shutdown. Had some injuries. But his freshman year, he was kind of that midweek starter guys for Tennessee. But you haven't really seen him start any games. He's been a bullpen guy. But, yeah, I mean, he pitched his ass off. Yeah. And, you know, he's got to be your next guy out of the pen.
I think that's the Tidwell. That's definitely, I think, the – one of the bigger takeaways for me this week is, you know, in a regional, like, you know, we're just talking nature of the business. Like, what happens? Like, Tennessee's not going to go and win every game in the region. Like, it's probably just not going to happen. I mean, it could. Right. If everything falls right, sure. But it's probably not the case. You're probably getting you're probably playing some starters that maybe they aren't your first choice in terms of, like, the guys you know that are just consistent, you know, pitch in, pitch out, day in, day out. And you needed to find that next guy. You knew you're going to be struggling. I mean, these guys are tired. They've been playing they played a lot of games against some great competition. Like, it's the end of the road. It's not the middle or the beginning. Like, you had to find some support and find some added depth. And I think Camden Sewell's performance for me is probably one of the top of the tournament just because he answered a question for you, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's got to give your team a boost heading into the postseason play where, you know, the Super Regionals, you're not going to have to rely on, you know, it's three games. A regional mm-hmm. is, you know, you maybe four games at the most.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, maybe you have to pitch him on, you know, if you have to play a fourth game in a regional. But, you know, I think this is the longest stretch Tennessee will probably have to play in postseason play. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good to have a guy like Camden Sewell that you can rely on and not just be a bullpen guy that can come in and start for you and, you know, have a really solid outing.
Yeah. Did
you see that curveball that somebody tweeted out of his?
I think it took a guy to his knees, didn't it? Is it that one?
It was disgusting. It was just like a sword. It was awful. Just gross.
We talk about good plays where it's like that guy, you just got to stand up and you threw a good pitch, man. Like, I wasn't going to touch that.
Oh, yeah.
That play that Arkansas made, the diving play by the shortstop and then got the ball to second base. What else can you do? Like, that was a you probably don't score. You definitely don't score there. You get a guy on the third scoring position, third, mm-hmm. You know, at best. But what a freaking play! I mean,
yeah, I mean, just like when they played here, Christian Franklin makes that catch in center field. I mean, you made a good play, and that's why I think Arkansas, they're the best team in the country. Mm-hmm. They've proven that, and you know, they don't have a weakness. They're really good defensively. Their lineup is incredible. They can hit the long ball, and then they got, you know, the SEC pitcher of the year just right there whenever you need him. So,
right,
just a solid baseball team. And I would love for us to come out on top today, but hey, if we play them in College World Series, I'll take that one over the one today.
Yeah, let's get one from them. Well, I guess two from them because we've already gotten one. Let's get one, and hopefully it's in Omaha when you get the next one. All right, that's the only time you'd see him, so it would be in Omaha. Anything else really about this week? I know we did get to talk about the Alabama game and whatnot on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think the lineup, you kind of show – like the lineup just showed up this week. You know, I think pitching-wise they showed up as well. You know, I think they gave up five runs in – before today, so 12 runs in total in five games. That's just an insane stat. I think they gave up 20 hits until before today. So, that's insane. The pitching defensively has just been incredible. But I thought Tennessee's lineup really showed up. Lindsey Nelson's pretty small when it comes to, like, left field and right field. But they proved they can hit it out anywhere. I mean, they're hitting freaking bombs this weekend.
Lipsius had a bomb to right center field.
Yep, Jordan Beck had one as well. It's like who else? Ferguson hit one too that was just off the bat. You're like, yep, that's gone. they showed their power off. It was really good to have Liam Spence get back to his old self, get on base, just be a terror for opposing teams. But I thought the bottom of Tennessee's lineup, again, just showed out. Pete Durkee, a guy that, you know, is probably – when you look at Tennessee's lineup, you're like, okay, let's rate these guys. Let's rate these guys. If you're like a common fan, you're like, oh, Pete Durkee is probably at the bottom of that list. He's just not really talked about. But he does everything so well, and, you know, he's just so consistent that guys – I guess teams kind of forget about him, but he's proven, you know, Kevin Cobb's comes in, he's like, all right, I'll take him yard real quick. Don't forget about me.
I think he's
another guy that,
yeah, Durkee is a great example. And this is a guy that Kibbit was talking about where, yeah, he's kind of that small, like he's going to get on base or he's going to advance runners, but he's got plenty of power to get out of the yard. Like he's got plenty of it. And, is that going to be most of his game? No, sure. But he can do it, no problem.
Yeah, and any batter in that lineup can go yard at any point. Maybe not Liam Spence, but he went yard yesterday, so it's hard to like. It's hard to pitch to a lineup like that when you have so many guys that, you know, if you make one mistake, it's causing you a couple runs.
Well, I mean, look at Florida. They have, you talk about how hard it is to pitch to Tennessee's lineup. They walked. Is it Beck? And then got to Evan Russell, bases loaded.
They walk Gilbert.
Gilbert, sure. That's not a bad decision to walk Gilbert, but you also get to see Evan Russell after it. So
who hit a grand slam off Vanderbilt? Yeah, that's what I would do.
So it's just like it's not fun pitching that lineup for a lot of reasons. Definitely just an overall deep line. And you mentioned it was very, very exciting to see. Liam Spence, just the consistency build this week.
Yeah, I know you need to get him going again, and that's if nothing else comes out of the series. If you got Liam Spence being his old selves, being an All SEC player and probably an All American, if you want my honest opinion, but hey, my opinion doesn't matter. If nothing else, you get him back, I think Tennessee will take that because he's Tennessee's most consistent hitter, and it's somebody that they need to be on a war path when it comes to postseason play.
Absolutely, absolutely good to see him get back consistent. Go ahead.
I said let's keep playing pissed off. If that's all it takes, you know, a blown call. I mean, just horrendous call. I know we talked about it on Wednesday, but that was just trash. Greg Sankey, I was hoping that they had him on for like two innings, which
two,
I thought was
two
so,
and a half innings. I think it was terrible.
It was two and a half innings too long. But I was hoping that they would ask him about that play.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, they would.
Come on.
But I was like, somebody ask him. Some random guy just grab the mic and ask.
Right. Right. I do want to you said your opinion doesn't matter. I'm not saying my opinion matters, but I've been saying to put some grandstands up.
They did it.
You can't build the stadium at this very moment, but you could at least put some grandstands up. Guys, if you don't know, start talking about what it's going to take to keep Vitello. Grandstands are up at Lindsey Nelson for the Super Regional and Regional and Super Regional. So tickets will be available. Fill that bad boy up.
Oh, and they're going to be loud.
Yep. I'm kind of worried for those, like, because the Vol Creatures have made the everyone's, like, not everyone's a legend of Lindsey Nelson, but everyone's a Vol Creature. So I'm a little worried about those grandstands.
Could get wild over there.
Could get, I mean, those things could come down. But hey,
collapse.
Hey, that's how you go from a Vol Creature to a legend of Lindsey Nelson, though.
Hey, making memories.
Exactly. That's how that happens.
Tennessee baseball.
And yeah, just kind of going in. I mean, you got it. Like, it's got to be priority one right now. And I mentioned it on Wednesday's show to keep Tony Vitello. Just look at what this fan base done. Look how many were in Hoover this week. Look at the social media.
It was a home game today.
Yeah. And with Danny White, you're on the search for a football coach, right? Not necessarily on the search, but like, you have a backup plan if you're a good AD, if Josh Heupel isn't working out, you know, in the worst way possible. With Vitello, your only plan should be to build him an adequate, like, you have the winner in your home. Just keep him happy. That's it.
Yeah. Anything he wants, he gets.
You don't have to go out and recruit.
Because, like, literally, Danny White, this is a message to you. If Vitello is gone and that's the only thing winning at this university, your ass will be gone too.
Hold on. Because I do have a question. Let's just say Josh Heupel works out, but Tony Vitello leaves. No one gives a shit. Let's be honest.
No one, like, if
Vitello I'm not saying leaves, I'll be upset. I not to the point I'll be calling for his job. If I'm saying, like, if Josh Heupel works out, let's say maybe this year they compete. I'm just like, yeah, just to be devil's advocate. It's fun to be devil's advocate. They compete next year, maybe really are in the East race. No one cares.
I mean, like,
the loud voices don't care, I should say. That's the better way to say that.
Oh, yeah.
The loud voices.
I mean, that's true, but like, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen that quick. Nothing against Josh Heupel, and you know, hopefully I'm jinxing him, and hopefully he does. But you know, probably when Vitello took over this job, no one's like, "Oh yeah, he won't make it to the SEC championship in his fourth year." There's no way.
I was about to say. To be fair,
there he goes.
That's pretty much what Vitello did. What I just said would be the equivalent to Josh Heupel. That's all I'm saying. It's funny to see the loud ones right now saying, "If you let him go, like you're done." Guys, if football is it, you don't care. Come on.
But then, like, football has to be it.
Oh, yeah. Football. But at the same time, it's like, if you come back next year and basketball's, you know, having a year, no one, you know, it's just, it's fun. I mean, I think you got to keep them. It's got to be your focus right now. Your focus should just be to go do the right thing at Lindsey Nelson, and the rest will kind of work itself out. I don't think you should have to be working super hard to keep Tony Vitello. It's just go build the stadium. Like, just go build the stadium.
Yeah, it's not like it's laid out in front of you. Yeah. All you got to do is raise the money. I don't think you have to raise the money.
You don't have to raise the money. The money's there. There's zero doubt in my mind the money's there on campus.
Oh, yeah, it's gonna be here for these regionals and super regionals. Guarantee you that.
Just money yourselves alone.
You can build that stadium.
if a Tennessee athletic director told me money was the issue, I would laugh in their face, and then I would call for their job, because that means they're stupid. They can't count.
Nobody bought enough bricks for COVID. COVID, yep. Bricks.
But I think Vitello's, you know, I think he mentioned it on a radio show that he was on recently. I didn't listen to it, but along the lines of kind of what we said, like, guessing, he just wants the commitment. He doesn't need cash up front.
Yeah, and he even talked about the plans for the renovations today on, you know, with Chris Burke and Tom Hart. Is that Tom Hart? Is that right?
Yeah, Tom Hart.
Right. Okay. I second guess myself. I want to say Tim Hart, but it's Tom Hart. But he was like, yeah, we want to extend that left field line, the seating for that, and then, you know, pack it in and in left field. And yep. You know, I think that's a great start. And I think that's what he's wanting. Like, he just wants, like you said, a commitment, a start. You don't have to build the whole thing in one year. I don't think anybody's, you know, making Danny White do that. But hey, there needs to be a commitment to the baseball program, because that's where you're winning.
Yep.
So let's keep winning. You have one sport that's winning. Let's keep winning. Not just, oh, we that was a good season, but, you know, football's king. No. Keep winning. I don't care if it's volleyball. If it's tennis, like, tennis is winning right now.
Yeah, they doubles. They won. First off, a doubles team won a national championship.
Yeah. Keep them happy. Whatever they need. Keep winning.
Absolutely. We're going for the President's Cup. Not the President's Cup. Is that what it's called? The one that, like, Stanford always wins? It's, like, the best athletic department?
I think it's the President's Cup.
Okay. Yeah, I want to win that. I mean, we're going to need a couple more teams. We're going to need a lacrosse team. We're going to need a sailing team. We're going to need a lot more. Underwater
basket weaving.
Yeah, we're going to need a lot more, but that's what I want to win.
Yeah, they have some sports that I've never even heard of.
So they just got introduced as the regional host. I know that's a shock to everybody, but it happened.
There we go.
Knoxville Regional. Lindsey Nelson. In the grandstands, baby. Let's go.
It's officially official.
Officially official. Okay, anything else you want to kind of mention about Vitello? We can go ahead and talk regional predictions. We were just, you know, or projections. We were just waiting on the official to come in, of course. That's exactly what we're waiting
on. Yeah, I just think, like, yeah, probably nothing's going on right now, but I think there does. Like, as soon as the season's over, hey, you need to lock this in. You don't need to have LSU and Texas A&M. You know, they're probably going to come calling, but –
And you want them calling. That means your coach is doing the right thing.
Rob, you don't want them to be talking.
No. No, you want it to be Tony Vitello ignores the call kind of deal.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, but no thanks. we're good over here. And like LSU, that's a really good job. Palmineri made that into a really good job. But I think the loyalty, I think Vitello said in his introductory press conference that, you know, he's Italian. He knows what it means to be loyal. And hey, he kind of told on him like that. He kind of did that to himself. So he's got to stay at Tennessee. I'm kind of not worried about it. I really think he loves this place.
The only thing that worries me is like the natural human element to it of more money, better, you know, like better opportunity kind of deal. I think I'm with you. I think he's kind of been able to be, you know, autonomous. Like, he's on his own. Like, he's kind of been
– like, going to LSU, yeah, that's cool. That's a good job. But it's also kind of have that – and not to say Palmineri's Pat Summitt, but it's kind of like when Holly Worley took over for Pat Summitt. Like, that sucks. Like, yeah. You have to follow that up. And I think Vitello would do a fantastic job at LSU, but – you know, he gets kind of write his own history, and he's kind of doing that already.
But I think it's also, too, I think it's almost more because, I mean, like, it's going to – there's a lot of better programs out there right now that have the facilities built, the history. Like, there's a lot of better programs. And two are probably going to call him soon if they haven't already. But I think it's a culture thing. I think he – from what we can gather from what he says publicly, from what the players and the assistant coaches say publicly, like the culture is just, it's a Tony Vitello culture. Culture is not easy to build. You know, he didn't have a Tony Vitello culture the day he walked through the door. It's built over time. It's built over trust and relationships and winning. And he's just building that. So it's like, could he want to start over? Yeah, sure. But I think it's going to take a lot more than just a payday to get him to start over. I don't know what it exactly would take. But he knows how hard he had to work to do it at Tennessee. It's not just due to lack of resources. That's not the only reason. It's just hard because it's hard. And he understands that because he's doing it. So I think payday is obviously enticing. Like I said, that's a human element of it. Everybody wants to make more money. If people say, I don't care about money, or if you don't believe a coach cares about money, you're just lying to yourself. Like, money is involved at a stage. It's just – hopefully it's not the final, like it is for some people. Hopefully it's not the final say. That's it.
Yeah. And a lot of what he dealt with was kind of what it's kind of that same problem that the other, like the bottom half of the SEC in football is doing. It's like you want to get up in that top tier, like with Alabama, Georgia, Florida, but like, and you're not at this point. So you got to try to get up there and, you know, you're not getting, they're out recruiting you because they're winning. Mm-hmm. You know, they have all the facilities and stuff that you do. And they also, you know, have, you know, better high school football. At least Florida and Georgia does. I don't know about Alabama. They're probably the same as Tennessee. But, you know, when you're able to get anybody else in the country
right
at Alabama, you know, it's hard to, like, get in that top tier. And SEC baseball is – it's probably more dominant than SEC football is when it comes to like other conferences.
I mean, yeah, maybe overall, because Alabama's obviously just the king, but I don't know. That's tough to say. I don't know. Graham Morgan mentioned, though, that Lotello is an alum from Missouri. Yeah, if Missouri was knocking, I might have different. I might have a different opinion on it, but that's not the case. So, him not being a Tennessee guy doesn't, in my opinion, affect the decisions of what the ones he's going to face. Again, if Missouri was calling, it might alter me a little bit. Alan just asked, "Do you think Tony will stay?" Again, I can't say with 100% certainty, and being a Tennessee fan, I will never try to say with 100% certainty. I know that what he's built here is very, very Tony Vitello-esque, and I know that's also not very easy to do. Money is going to play a part because he's human just like all of us. As long as it's not money. Yeah, that too. But as long as it's not the end-all, be-all, I really just don't see how money can play that big of a role. He's going to have the opportunity to at least be, you know, and I think he should be allowed to be involved. I don't know how that works when they build new stadiums, because it's not a facility like a, if it was a workout facility and an indoor facility or something like that, yeah, of course you'd be, it's his facility at that point. But as far as stadiums go, I don't really know how that works in college athletics. I think he should be allowed to. He's the reason it's full, and so he should be allowed to. But he is at least going to be here when that happens. So I think that's got to be that's attractive to anybody, right? To build your own thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, Florida is already built. So if he went to Florida, like, he wouldn't have a hand in building that facility, that stadium.
Yeah, let me ask you this, and I think this says a lot about somebody. When you played NCAA Road to Glory, did you go to the Alabamas, which Alabama was just kind of up and coming then? Did you go to Florida? Did you go to Texas? Did you go to USC? Or did you pick the little school and take them to the national championship?
University of Toledo, baby.
You picked the little school. You built something. It's attractive to build something. Yeah, if I was like, yeah, you got to make a 100% decision today, I would tell you he's staying. I don't. Obviously, I don't know him personally, but
I need to change. We need to get him on the show.
Yeah, well, it does. But yeah, I think he's got something special. I do, and I think it would just take more than money. So, what can a team like LSU or a team like Texas A&M offer him more than money? That's similar to building something of his own. Like what?
Yeah, I mean that's just it.
Right.
You know, I've seen a lot. Some people just like say, "Oh, he doesn't have to really compete a ton with the recruits with Vanderbilt." I'm like, that Vanderbilt recruits all over this country, and right. Tennessee's got a dude from Stillwater, Minnesota. So
at this point too, you want to be recruiting against Vanderbilt all the time, because that means you're recruiting the top. Mm-hmm. So that's, you want that pressure anyways. And then in the state of Tennessee, I know what Vanderbilt has, so I don't think this is something that's going to happen overnight. But if you picked any kid, no matter what sport he played, baseball, football, lacrosse, and you just went out on their practice field and you said, "Hey, who would you rather play for, Tennessee or Vanderbilt? Orange and white or black and gold? Black and not even gold, black and mustard. What are you wearing?" I 8 out of 10 in the state of Tennessee are picking orange and white.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're winning, when you watch the way Tennessee's playing, how can you not want to play for this team, this staff?
Yeah.
With the swag and past personality and all that stuff, it's becoming more and more attractive, and it's, you know, they've had to focus in a lot of their evaluations with kids, and I think a lot of it's baseball too, because you don't have the 247, the rivals really covering a ton mm-hmm. of, you know, you see the stars, some of them, but most of those guys that like you've seen from their 16, 17, 18, like they're the top kids in the country. A lot of those players getting drafted out of high school, so they're probably not coming to college anyway. But a lot of these, you know, Garrett Crochet is a perfect example. He was throwing around like what, 80 miles an hour when he got on campus.
Yep.
And they turned him into a first round draft pick. So, You know, trusting evaluations, you know, getting guys in here that can really build up your program, getting guys like a Pete Durke, a Evan Russell that are just bought in from day one, and yep. Luke Lipsius, you know, guys that have been here for, you know, it feels like forever.
Right.
We got some of those Perry Ellis's from Kansas, but, you know, guys that are just, they're program builders, that they set the tone, they set the standard, the foundation, whatever you want to call it. They set that for Tennessee. And that's why, you know, that's why they're having so much success. They're able to get guys quickly in here that were able to buy in, and it's got this whole team bought in. It's got the fan base bought in. I mean, you saw Hoover today, it was painted orange.
Right.
Awesome.
Which, you know, Birmingham, it's hard to make it look pretty. It was still ugly, even in orange, but whew. A little bit better.
Yeah. Every game's a home game.
Every game's a home game. Let's talk a little bit about the regional. Real quick, hit on that. As obviously, we don't know who they're playing yet, so kind of to be determined. There are some projections out there, but regardless, yeah. The regional's coming in Knoxville.
So I think Tennessee really played themselves into a better national seed. So D1 baseball came out with projections today. I think yesterday, before that Florida game, Tennessee was at number 5. Today, before the championship game against Arkansas, they were listed at number 2. And I think that just helps with, you know, you're seated up, you know, your super regionals will be paired, like you go like one will play the 16, two will play the 15, stuff like that. You know, obviously they have to make it, but that's who would play each other in that regional.
Right.
And, you know, what it was looking like was Tennessee could end up playing Ole Miss in the super regional.
One projection on Thursday or Friday had the Tennessee's regional with Liberty, who according to 11.7 is the best mid-major in college baseball.
Yeah. And they did not win their conference tournament. So
they didn't. Okay.
Having to fight in there. And that's what happened with a lot of these teams. I think Alabama was playing themselves into a, not a regional host, but into a regional, but you had so many teams, you know, those mid-majors that were going to be, at large bids anyway. You're hoping that they could get that automatic bid, but they didn't. So
that's a good point.
So a lot of those teams like that were on like Georgia, LSU, Alabama, you know, teams like that may not get in. I think LSU would probably get in.
Alabama and Georgia probably
won't. And then you look at it like if they beat Tennessee, they're in for sure. So Tennessee basically put them out of a regional if they don't end up making it. So hate to see it. Love it. But, yeah, it was going to be LSU or Ole Miss and Tennessee in a super regional when we were the 5. But now if we were the 2, I think they have us paired up with 13. No, that's not with the 15. And that would have been ECU. And they had Tennessee's regional opponents would be the 2 seed would have been Charlotte, who beat Tennessee earlier this year. So that's kind of tough. They also have a Tennessee transfer on Austin Knight, and they had VCU, and I think Ryder was in there as well. So,
gotcha.
It's definitely not an SEC schedule, but it is a you know some quality opponents that you know Tennessee's going to have to really come to play this weekend and really shut them down. But I think when you have guys like Chad Dallas, Blade Tidwell, the way he's pitching, Camden Sewell, John Hundley, and this lineup, it'd be tough to lose in that regional to me. I mean,
right.
It's knock on wood, but like they should be on to a super regional, and then from there, it's like you just got to win. You got to win a series. That's what you try to do every single game in the regular or every single weekend in the regular series. Win that series and move on. And we'll see what happens. You're going to need some luck on your side. You're going to need some fantastic plays. Like I think Jordan Beck threw a freaking missile to second base to throw at a guy trying to stretch into a double. You're going to need some plays like that. You're going to need some home runs. And I think Tennessee has a really good chance to make it to the College World Series and kind of see what happens from there. I think Alabama and Vanderbilt, I think Tennessee is right there Arkansas and Vanderbilt. And I think Tennessee's right there with them as, you know, the top 3 teams in the country.
I would agree with that. And I just do want to run through the regional host real quick, since it was some talk this year with the – had to do bidding first and then some mid-majors trying to get
does
in there as well.
Does it have the numbers?
It does not have the numbers. At least the NCAA baseball account tweeted it out. It doesn't have the numbers. Texas is hosting South Carolina, Oregon, Arkansas, TCU, Florida, ECU, Tennessee, obviously. Texas Tech, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, and Louisiana Tech. I think Louisiana Tech might have been the last one in, like the last regional in, technically. I don't know how that works. Yeah. Notre Dame, Stanford, Mississippi State, Arizona, and that's it. Those are your hosts, regional hosts.
There you go.
So
it's on. It's getting close.
It is. That starts, what, Friday?
Yep.
Yeah. Friday.
Yeah, I think it will go all the way through Sunday, and then Monday is that game. If the winner of the loser bracket beats that undefeated team, then they'll play a game if necessary on Monday.
Gotcha. Excited. The last time we had to watch regional, it was just a short drive to Chapel Hill, but this time it's a short drive for me.
Yeah.
Short drive for me still, but Knoxville. So this one will be fun. This one will be exciting. All right.
I didn't time this up well. I scheduled a beach trip this week. But I hope to be back. I'm leaving at the ass crack of dawn on Sunday, and I'll be back Sunday in the stadium.
So hopefully, do you all get like first rights to tickets? How does that work with that?
Yeah, we got four.
Gotcha.
So
No, but like, how does that work? Did y'all have to?
We had to claim.
You had like first right since you're a season ticket holder?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Nice.
Yep. And then next weekend will be a Super Regionals, and I'm supposed to be in Nashville. So, damn it. I guess we just got to go to Omaha.
Yeah. Wait, you got to plan a trip, though, if you want. That's the thing.
If what?
You have to just plan a trip, so you can't go, because that seems to be the kind of working way here.
Yeah, I mean, what? Like, I wanted to go to Hoover today, but I was like, I haven't went all week. They're playing well, so I'm not going to jinx it. I'm not going to be the cause of it.
It's also a terrible drive to Birmingham. So,
yeah, it is
terrible drive. But
and also, I kind of didn't want to be like you and drive to.
That was worth it.
But he drove to Nashville.
Yeah, that was worth it. You kidding me? I'd do it again for Rick Barnes. Do it again. Noon games. This is what I you know what? I have a different take on noon games. At least it's on Saturday. I'll say that. I know a lot of people just don't like noon games. And I wake up early now anyways. Like that's just – I can't sleep in too late. I wake up early. So get me up early. Get me a Coors Light, Coors Banquet in my hand. Chick-fil-A nuggets tray, or I guess technically Chick-fil-A minis tray. Start that game at noon. Let me be done by 4. Now I'm watching college football the rest of the night. I'm a happy man.
Shut up.
I'm a happy man.
Noon games are butt. Especially when it's like so hot outside. It's terrible.
You know what's worse when it's hot outside though? 4 p.m. games.
Yeah, but like toward the end, you get to cool off a little bit.
No, you don't. I don't know what Neyland Stadium you've been in. That thing just holds heat.
Well, at noon, like even the walk back, it's miserable.
Yeah, it's a little hot.
Because then it's like actually 4:00.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't. That's what I'm saying though. You're dealing with heat regardless.
No.
Here's the problem.
For a longer period of time, and it's hard to – like me and you, we get there at
8 a.m.
crack of dawn, yes.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't, so it's just me and you for a while.
That's fine with me.
I like it better that way anyways. I see you enough. I can't stand you.
That's fine, but I like it better that way. I don't need these people to come. I mean, we've tried to get people to come early and tell. First off, that's a good thing about tailgating early too. You guys, I'm not a scientist or a doctor or anything, but if you're drinking beers at 8 a.m., you're getting more drunk than if you were drinking beers at noon. I'm sorry, I don't know, I don't get it. I'm not trying to understand it. I'm just telling you what happens.
You find out who the true fans are that come at 8 a.m.?
Yeah. Oh, I love when we get a line out for noon games at the parking lot before it opens.
What kind of line are you talking about?
Yeah, that one too. Both. But, yeah, listen, I don't want to bunt. The only thing I'm mad about, we have two of them, like, already announced.
Yeah, that's
– you're guaranteed one SEC noon game, always.
So, is that what we got for moving our game up to Thursday night? You get to play Thursday night and then two games at noon.
I think so.
What short straw did we draw? Jesus.
Well, you know, how many people are playing at noon, Landon? It's for exposure. It's for exposure. All eyes are going to be on us. All the high school athletes are going to be watching us.
Well, one of the games is on – it's not even on television.
All odds. Well, how many games are being streamed at noon, Landon? Even better. Even better.
I mean, how is that Pitt game at noon? Like, that's a
– yeah. You're playing like
a – Power 5 matchup. Power 5. That doesn't happen.
Right. It should, like, at minimum be like a 4 p.m. game on SEC Network.
And we can't get a
– I would be curious to go look at the rest of the SEC schedule that week. Maybe there's some more enticing matchups. But if there's not, that's stupid.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, we can't get a Johnny Majors tribute like at night.
Right.
We had to do it at noon.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb. I didn't even think about that. It's even dumber. He would want us to be drinking early, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, and then, you know, keep drinking throughout the whole entire day.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what he would want. So that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, I just don't get, like, Tennessee Tech it on ESPN Plus, dude. Put it on freaking
– I can't believe it's on ESPN Plus. I thought all games were on SEC Network, if not ESPN.
Nope. SEC Network Plus and ESPN Plus.
That's so stupid. Whatever.
I guess you just got to win football games.
That definitely helps. I mean, it's hard to bitch and moan when you just suck. So, we do have a question here. Eric Gilbert, real possibility or wishful thinking? I didn't even know that was still a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it was a thing, but.
I mean, until he's actually on campus, I think it's wishful thinking. Because, I mean, what pool do we have? Oh, we got a new coaching staff that can score points. Oh, we got his quarterback from high school. I mean, does that, like, ever really happen? I mean, it didn't happen out of high school, so why is it going to happen now? I just don't.
Correct.
I think the easy way – I think where he probably stays at LSU. I mean –
I mean, that's probably a real possibility.
Why start all the way over? You know, you had a good year last year at LSU. Why start unless he's kicked off the team. I know the grades and off the field stuff has kind of been an issue for him. But if he comes, great. I welcome him with open arms. But, you know, I'm not
banking on
out.
It.
Yeah, I'm not holding out for him.
Gotcha. Any other questions? Any more?
That's all I got.
All right. Good deal. What's your most important of the week? All my screenshots are.
Oh, we had four players make the SEC All Tournament team.
Oh, nice.
So Camden Sewell, Connor Pavloni, Luke Lipsius, and Max Ferguson.
Nice.
I mean, you could probably put a lot more on there.
Yeah. You got to get it somebody from, you know, everybody. That's how it works. That's how those works. Yeah.
Tennessee had the most. Arkansas only had two. They did have the most valuable player, which is Jalen Battles, their shortstop, who made
a phenomenal play.
Yeah. And hit a home run. Florida had two. Vanderbilt only had one.
Suck it, Vanderbilt.
Oh, Florida had three. I'm sorry. Ole Miss had one. Yeah, Tennessee had four. There you go.
There you go.
Showed out.
Love to see it. My most important. First one, James Madison, softball. They had to beat Tennessee and Missouri to make it to where do they play their World Series at?
I don't know either.
Anyways, first time in school history, James Madison did it, and they had to beat Tennessee and Missouri on their home turf to do it. And they made it.
So they're going to the College World Series.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Good for them. What are they called?
They are the
Is there a nickname? That's a nickname that we were talking about that last show.
Legendary. I feel like, though, for the kind of nickname it is, it's a normal nickname.
Oh, really?
Like, you're like, wouldn't be shocked by the nickname it is. They are the... Oh, they're the Dukes. Never mind. I thought they were something more interesting.
Yeah, that's not that cool.
That's not.
I mean, I guess it is. You don't see that, but Dukes aren't that cool.
No, it's not. It's also named after a guy whose name was Duke. Like, that's stupid. I'm out. Out on James Madison. I rescind my most important of the week. My next one.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, Dukes of Hazzard. Austin East. Won a state championship, soccer state championship, the first time in school history, and it was the celebrations, the videos. I cried watching one of the video of them coming home. Freaking awesome! It was just that team's an excellent team, and not obviously traditionally known for soccer if you follow soccer in Knoxville, and they pieced together a really really good program and won a state championship, and it's freaking awesome. I was very excited for Austin East.
Yeah, it's really cool for their community too. To they've dealt with a lot.
And their community, what their community did for them, like coming home, that's what high school sports are all about. Like, I hate that there's some high schools, like I know state championship's a big deal, no matter like where you're at or what sport it's in, like it's always a big deal. But to make it as big of a deal as they did, like that, it was nuts. Their welcome home celebration was freaking nuts, and it was awesome. I loved it.
That's all. What was they had to beat Gallenberg Pittman, didn't they?
They beat Gallenberg Pittman. I mean, they played them four times this year. Played them once in regular season, once in the district championship, once in the regional, and then again in the final, the state championship. And they beat them. They beat them three times. Beat them for the district, regional, and then had to beat them in PKs for the second time. Which, I mean, beating a team like Gallenberg Pittman is hard to do once, let alone twice, let alone three times. So just shows you, I mean, the kind of year they were having. And yeah, it was pretty nuts to do what they did.
Go Roadrunners.
Go Roadrunners.
That's a cool one.
Beep, beep. That is a cool one.
Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.
That's all I got for most important.
Okay. I've got a fail.
Oh, Jason Tatum scoring 50 on the Nets. That's pretty solid. Ooh, 50 piece, 50 burger on them.
Well, they're getting destroyed right now. So.
Oh yeah, I thought they would be shortcoming. They would get killed today.
120-91 with 10:40 left in the fourth. I just said that aloud. It was hilarious reading it, but it was even funnier saying aloud. 120-91 in with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Jesus. I've got a fail. Javier, well, this one's for most important for Javier Baez, just being creative. Just a little
razzle dazzle.
Yeah, I don't even know how to do it. He was definitely going to get thrown out at first to end the inning. Instead, I think it was just like an errant throw that brought the first baseman off the bag. And he was just going to tag Baez. Well, Baez turns around, runs back towards home. Then the runner on third takes off for home. They don't get him tagged out at home. Javier Baez then somehow still makes it to first. So it was that legitimately. I watched it 85 times to try to figure out what happened. It's one of the dumbest plays in all the sports I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh yeah, fell on the Pirates. They should never play baseball ever again after that.
Well, what's nuts is like they could have, even after not getting the guy out at home, they could have still went and tagged. And the runner wouldn't have been safe.
Oh yeah, they just had to touch first.
And I forgot they threw they threw it into the dugout. So Javier Baez got to second.
Yep.
I forgot about that because like just add to the craziness of the situation.
Yeah, because there was no one on first, so they tried to lead the second baseman to cover first.
Yeah.
And they throw it over his head, and he goes to second.
And then they threw it over his head at second, and Baez thought about going to third. He looked up. He thought about it.
I think they had to make sure somebody was actually at third because they didn't think – I think the third baseman ends up getting the ball. Yeah, it was just a crazy – I mean, it was the Bad News Bears, before they were good.
Yep. Jay Beadle asked what time do his tickets go on sale for regionals. I just looked to check. So they go on sale after the selection show on Monday. The Monday selection show is at 12. So tomorrow, I don't know how long that selection show will last, but I would just maybe if you want tickets, I think they're going to go fast. So I would watch the selection show and be ready to buy right after.
Yeah. And, you know, if y'all are good to me, I'll probably have them cheaper than anybody else. So
maybe we'll see.
We'll see. I'll be there Sunday. So if y'all want to come celebrate, it's going to be wild. Hopefully we're in the driver's seat. Hopefully we're the undefeated team and, you know, we're not having to fight to stay alive and play on Monday. Hopefully we get it over with on Sunday, rest up, get the super regionals and just take it from there. I mean, Omaha's calling our name, baby. I had so much fun this weekend just watching them play.
Oh yeah.
And just dominating. And I mean, until today,
back up. Can we talk about how just terrible I know you had to do it that way. I don't know if you had to. You had to make every no games play at the same time. But, like, who wants to watch a game? Like, who can watch a whole game in the middle of a work day?
I don't know, Caleb.
I can't. You can watch an entire game. You didn't miss a single pitch.
No, I work from home.
But you didn't miss a single pitch? Like, you didn't have to look away to take a call?
I mean, yeah, but like
you didn't get to sit down. Yeah, but you miss a lot.
No, what do you need? I'm still watching.
I need Landon's job.
It's a great job, man. Great job. Love it.
You don't miss a single pitch?
No, I never. Like, even if I was there, I wouldn't miss a pitch. Hey, it's the Vols, baby. We're playing titles, championships.
I mean, I hope you're joking because, like, I even had the game on literally the entire time on my phone. I mean, you just can't watch the full game. It's not possible. I mean, it's hard to watch a full baseball game when you're there. You got so much going on.
Well, Friday was a lot easier because I didn't have we weren't busy on Friday, but
yeah,
Thursday was difficult. I'd probably miss some pitches on Thursday, but Friday, no, I was in it.
I still missed some on Friday, but yeah, Friday I pretty much watched the entire thing. But yeah, it's not easy. Which Friday too, they had to miss some weather, and that was smart of them. You want to play the games,
right?
But that's different. That's different.
Yeah, Thursday is a difficult day to play at.
Wednesday and Thursday and Tuesday. If your team was playing on Tuesday, couldn't be mine.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, I get it to an extent. It's just like, I don't know. Doesn't seem ideal.
It was kind of nice to get off work, though, and not like it'd be over with. You're like, all right, cool. We won. Like, I can just go enjoy the rest of my night.
I'd like to run home and, you know, turn the game on the TV, eat dinner. But, you know,
those are the noon games I like.
Yeah. See, you're out here rooting for noon games again. Ridiculous. Guys, that's all I've got. We appreciate y'all listening. Stay tuned for the next episode. Landon will be traveling, so we'll be winging it, see what happens, do our best. I mean, I don't know what time Tennessee – next Sunday will be weird too with the regional. So just stay tuned. Follow us Twitter, Facebook, and we'll keep you updated with those times and days that they happen.
Yep, thanks again. Go Vols. Fell a little short today, but, hey, we're headed to win the big one.
Absolutely.
That's our goals. Key Vitello, hey, pack in Lindsey Nelson. As soon as you're able to get tickets, and let's fill that sucker up. Fill the grandstands, whatever you can. Standing room only, I don't care. If you're sneaking in, I'll help. I'll distract somebody for you if I can. Let's get that place rocking. This team deserves this. That's all I got. We're bringing the boat in.